Recording from Emery's Grill in downtown Tahlequah, this is the Darren Cheverini Show, presented by the NSU Alumni Association. I'm Maury Phillips, the voice of the River Ox, and I'm joined by the River Ox Sports Nest, consisting of DJ Sean Solo and Captain William Morgan. Alongside us is the leader of NSU football, the man on my left, head coach Darren Cheverini. Lots to talk about, ranging from last week's win against Saginaw Valley State to this week's home opener against Missouri S&T. Before we get to all that, we'd like to extend a big thank you to the program's presenting sponsor, the NSU Alumni Association. Membership in the NSU Alumni Association is the most visible way to show your Northeastern pride. It's also the only way to enjoy River Ox football in the comfort of the Bank First Green and White Room, the exclusive hospitality room at River Ox home games. Enjoy free food and live stream River Ox action, and Alumni Association members can enjoy all homecoming activities, including golf and champagne bingo for free. Learn more about membership at nsualumni.com. NSU is 1-0 for the first time since 2011 after leaving the Great Lakes State with a 28-21 victory over Saginaw Valley State in University Center, Michigan. The River Ox saw multiple strong debuts. Donnie Smith at quarterback, 26-41 for over 300 yards, while Avante Chenault had 11 catches for 162 yards. Caden Walker led the defense with 8 tackles and had a pivotal sack on the last Saginaw drive of the game, while Sim Kilpatrick, one of Salisaw's own not too far from here, had the game-sealing interception in the end zone with just over a minute to play. Familiar names that were strong performers include Cam Woods, 3 catches for 61 yards. Ramon McKinney ran for 2 touchdowns. Aiden Guess had a sack on the last defensive possession of the contest right there with Walker. Troy Wynn made a pair of field goals in the first half, too. He also had another converted field goal that ultimately was nullified due to a roughing at the kicker. We'll take that every time. We'll go ahead and crown our play of the week. I've given the nod to the end zone pick from the Salisaw native Kilpatrick. Here was the call on Thursday night via Lakes Country 102.1.
Field, McKenzie, he's looking to his left. Jump ball, end zone, it's long. Oh. And the Riverhawks pick it off.
No way. They got it.
What a play. Northeastern State, they're going to take the football game.
Can we just mention Captain Morgan on that one? Oh! That was greatness.
And you obviously can just hear the audio there, but that was one that was very much a jump ball. It was up for grabs. It was bobbled. Didn't look like for a second they're going to have a chance at a pick. Back on mine, I was thinking, could they get it? And then he comes down with it. And the way I know is he springs up and everybody's celebrating. I didn't know if he had it for a second there because he was on the far side.
On the video, he had perfect inside leverage on it. And so he just did enough and got it. And when he came down with it, it was insane.
All right, we'll go to Coach. Tell me your thoughts on the big win.
Obviously excited to get off to a good start. You know, I knew that Saginaw had a good football team, but I also knew that we had a good football team. I knew coming out of fall camp after going through, you know, those dog days of August, that's when you really form your team, and I could tell that I knew that we had a good football team, and I told our team in the locker room before the game, like, this is just two good football teams going at it. The team that makes more plays, doesn't turn it over, is going to win this football game. And so, to me, we took care of business. We were very efficient on third down. We were great inside the red zone. We got our stops on defense when we had to get our stops, and we played winning football. So it was exciting to get our first win. And I'll obviously be 1-0, so I'm looking forward to keep building on off of that.
Let's introduce the people's DJ. We've already heard from him a little bit so far, but now for the first time this season, he'll give us his pick for Banger Player of the Week. Sean, lots of great candidates, lots of tremendous options. I just ran through some of them, but who ultimately gets the nod?
Well, this is a no-brainer. You know, if you started this receiver in your PPR fantasy league, you posted 29 points for his official NSU debut with the 11 catches, 162 yards, and a two-point conversion. I'm, of course, talking about number one, Levante Chenault.
Well, I will say this, and it was just all we needed to see was the first half for Chenault, about, you know, a few catches, and he looked like a different beast from what you normally see in Division II football. The instincts, all of it, the athleticism. A lot of passes guys would not catch. He was able to flip them into big plays, and he's a huge reason why the offense was as explosive as it was. Sean, we'll go back to you.
Well, you know, the phrase that, you know, is echoed from Thursday has been, you know, let's shock the world. And I personally posted, you know, and said the same thing. But for me, it was all the naysayers, you know, who didn't know what we know, that we, you know, obviously a more talented team than Saginaw Valley, and they play tough. But we just had some missed opportunities. My question has to deal with the kind of the game plan. You know, with Donnie Smith at the helm, you know, your offense obviously looks a little different. Was the game plan to kind of manage the game and control the clock to keep Saginaw Valley's offense off the field? Because our time of possession, I don't remember what the final stat was.
It was like 40 minutes.
It was ridiculous.
About 40.
I mean, it wasn't necessarily the plan. The plan's always to score points, right? If you score more than the opponents, you win. So they had a good team. They had a good defense. And so things that I thought were going to pop for big yardage, we got 4 or 5. We got 6. We got 10. You know, so it wasn't necessarily to have, like, you know, 3 drives over 15 plays each, but it worked out that way. We did a good job of ball control, did a good job of executing third down. We were 10 of 16 or 10 of 18, something like that. And so whenever you can convert on third down, keep their quarterback off the field, who was a very good football player. I mean, they only had 390 yards of offense, and he had 345 of them himself. He threw for 240-something yards. He ran for 115 yards. So, you know, keeping him off the field was a good thing, in my opinion, because we were down 14-13 at halftime, and they had run 13 plays. So we'd run 46 plays. So I'm like, good Lord, man, we got to be able to pull away a little bit. So, you know, like I wasn't shocked by the win. I really wasn't. I know people in Tahlequah were, but I wasn't, because I knew we had a good team. And so it comes down to, if I would have came out of fall camp thinking that we weren't very good, then I'd have said, yeah, that was a shock. But it wasn't a shock to me at all.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, too. It wasn't for the shock to people that have seen you progress, Coach. So, again, congratulations on the win. It's exciting there, and it's brought a lot of excitement there. I'm back here in the Qual, but there at the game, it was also afterwards. I know that you had a Director Sizemore, you know.
Coach Sizemore was dancing.
Yeah, he was dancing, yeah, after, so. That was pretty exciting.
Where's the video of that? That's what I want to see.
Someone's got it.
Uh-oh.
Angela's got it. Angela's
she's
got
showing it. The phone.
Yeah. She's keeping it for blackmail for later. She wants to pay for these.
Yeah, so exciting game. And one of the things I want to kind of go to in that fourth quarter is, you know, that stop there that you had, and then that awesome drive, the 99-yard drive that you had. Just tell me about that 15-play. Tell me about all the, you know, everything that went into that. You know, it's grit. It's the thing you've talked about this year. So what did that drive, you know, reveal about your team, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think it showed me a lot, because what we had emphasized in our off-season program, what we emphasized in fall camp is, one, being able to run the ball in the red zone, and two, being able to stop the run in the red zone. So everybody can play football in the middle of the field. Everybody, if they're decent, they should be able to move the ball on people. Where great teams are great is on third down. And where great teams are elite is in the red zone. So if you can play really good football in situations like, you know, third down and 7 on the 8-yard line, third down and 3 or third down and goal on the 2-yard line, if you can get stops and you can get turnovers like we did on defense, we had 2 turnovers, turnover on downs and an interception inside the 5-yard line or inside the 10-yard line, that's big. And then for us on offense, we were able to, we didn't run the ball great in the middle of the field, but when we got down in the red zone, we could run it. And you can break defenses' wills when you can run the ball in, and they know you're going to run it. Everybody in the stadium knew we were going to run the ball. Mm-hmm. They couldn't stop it, you know. And so I was really proud of our team showing, you know, that basically that character on both sides of the ball. And, you know, on that 15-play, 99-yard drive, first and foremost, we're on the 1-inch line. They're going to play man on Levante. I'm throwing the ball to Levante. So they couldn't figure out how to cover him. Mm-hmm. They kept playing man. So I'm like, all right, you got to keep playing man. I'm not going to change my game plan. I'm keep attacking those guys. And so got the ball to Levante, hit a couple of things on him, hit a trick play on him down in like the high red zone. So it was a good college football game. And, you know, I'm glad that our players got to experience of being in a locker room like that, especially the guys like Case and Badley, who had been here and been on some rough outings, you know, mm-hmm. Chris Lee and some of those guys like Coach Bo Curry, who's one of our GAs now. I mean, they were here when they were awful. And now they're seeing not only the progress we've made, but we have a good team. And now we got to keep developing and keep coaching them. And, you know, like we got to breed more confidence. You know, winning helps breed confidence. And so, but you can't get too overconfident. You got to coach them. And you got to be hard on them. You got to fix the issues in practice. You got to push them in conditioning. And because at the end of the day, I'm a firm believer. At the end of the day, you can throw a scheme out. The most physical and the most conditioned teams win in the fourth quarter. Mm. Teams that are the most physical in the trenches and the teams that are the most conditioned. We were the better conditioned team. Because if you watch Saginaw, they were cramping all game, and we weren't. The only one that kind of had a little bit of an issue was Levante, and he was just tired because I was throwing the ball.
Yeah, running all over the field.
I said, "You cramping?" He's like, "No, I'm just tired, coach." I'm like, "All right."
Yeah.
So, but they were cramping on their sideline and on the D line. They were cramping, and so that means we're the better conditioned team. And I knew that because we train in Oklahoma in the summer, and they're up in Michigan, and it's not the same weather. It's
right.
Cooler up there.
Yeah.
They were practicing indoor. I saw their videos. They were indoors during fall camp. We're not indoors in fall camp. We're out there in that Oklahoma heat.
And wearing black.
Yeah, we're wearing black. We're sweating. And yeah. We're doing a conditioning drill. So, you know, I was proud of our guys. And I really like the fact that they've embraced the culture. And, you know, like I said, we have a good team. We got to keep working. We got a lot of work to do. We're 1-0, but we got a long season to go. We got to win our first home game here and get to 2-0. And that's our goal right now, to get to 2-0.
So I want to go back on some of the individual performances. We talked about some of the debuts. Donnie, a lot about Chenault. With Levante Chenault, 11 catches, 162 yards. That was the most for an SU receiver in a single game since 2017. But I was also impressed. Defense, a lot of new faces. You got youngsters like Charbonneau, Tolbert, Esparza, some experienced guys coming in like Caden Walker, who is huge. You also got a couple guys as well along the defensive line. Offensive line has some guys that Coach Sutherland has definitely told us people movers. What do you think about the new blood so far? How have they performed, and what do you see for them Thursday?
You know, we're still actually a really young team. We played two true freshman safeties for the majority of the game. You got Jordan Tolbert and Mike Esparza, both true freshmen. Kill Charbonneau, our starting Mike linebacker, true freshman. Our starting center, true freshman. You know, like, that shows you that we're not only recruiting at a high level, but the guys we're bringing in are impact players. And then we've also upgraded, like, our offensive line. Jaden Flores is a big 6'7", 365-pound kid. Kaysen Badley went from tackle last year to move into guard because he's a good football player. Justice Gillum is a true freshman. You know, Samarion Hayes is a junior college transfer, but new. Devin Jones was a tight end last year, was a starting tackle. You know, so we brought in a lot of new faces in offensively. Defensively, you know, obviously you got guys like Ryder Trujillo who came in, Caden Walker who came in. You know, Jordan Richburg, still a really good player, but you got Marvelous Owens, who was a transfer that came in for us. So I really like the fact that we did a really good job as a staff evaluating the talent, and then we've done a good job of coaching them. You still got to coach them. They can be good players, but you got to coach them. And so I was proud of the staff that we made some adjustments on defense because I knew they were going to move the ball. I knew they were going to score some points, but we got to cut down the explosive plays. Make them earn it. Don't make them go three plays and go 70 yards. Make them go 15 like we did. Like, bend, don't break, man. Like, give them the underneath stuff. Do not get beat down the field. And I thought we got to clean that up defensively, which we will. Coach Tonnebos is a good coach. Coach Atwell is a good coach. So, but we got to fix those things.
Well, yeah, you basically answered my question. That's exactly what I saw on the game, is that it was a bend, don't break. You know, several of those runs up the middle from the quarterback were, when I, looking at the film, watching the game, was when the coverage downfield, the DBs had the backs to him, and there was nothing he can throw to. But, you know, we made the stops when it counted with the last drive with the two sacks, you know, and the pick in the end zone. So how do you feel the defense? And I guess the run game was also obviously a big talking point. You know, it's been our biggest Achilles heel. So, you know, how do you feel the defense has progressed from the offseason to how they delivered on Thursday night?
Yeah, we're a much better defense. I mean, majority of their rush yards came from the quarterback.
Right.
Those
are the breakaway plays, right?
Yeah, that guy's a good player. I knew he was going to get some plays on us. I just didn't want to. You can't break down in coverage. I thought we broke down in coverage a couple times, that we can't get hit on open receivers. If they're going to score, they have to earn it. Don't give them wide open guys. And I thought we gave them a couple plays where the guys were wide open, and that bothers me as a head coach. But, again, first game, we're going to make some mistakes. We fixed them in practice this week, and we'll play better overall as a team, you know, this week.
All right, Coach. Well, I want to go back to some of the coaching things that you were talking about. So, you know, this week we snapped a lot of streaks. But you've had the quality experience being coached at the NFL and then coaching in Division I as well. So from those experiences that you've had, you brought them here to the Qual. We broke a lot of firsts here. So just tell me a little bit about building that momentum and what you brought in here to the Qual from your experience as a coach and what you're instilling into your coaches as you're talking about.
I mean, obviously being in year two now, I mean, year one, you see it around college football. Look what Bill Belichick is one of the greatest coaches ever. And they got their butts kicked.
Yep, they
on
did.
National television, because here's the issue. He's a first-year coach at North Carolina. All these transfers, new staff, new everything. That was us last year. And I thought we were competitive last year in most of the games, except for a couple where we got our butts kicked. But we were in most of the games. So last year, I thought that I was disappointed that we didn't win those one-score games that we lost. Because if you win those one-score games, you're a 6-5 team instead of being a 2-9 team. But what I'm most proud of is you see the development of our program from when we first got in here, where it was a bunch of guys that just trying to come together as a roster, to now we have a football program and we have a football team. Last year, we didn't have a program. Last year, we didn't have a team. We had a bunch of guys trying to come together to play football on a Saturday. That's not the case now. We have a culture now. We have team captains that are respected by their peers. We have leadership council that are respected by their peers. And sometimes I can step away and let the players handle it. And when you have player leadership, that's when you have something special. When everything's run through the head coach, then you just have a dictatorship. I don't want to be a dictatorship. I want to be able to set the culture and set the standard, and the players got to take it over, and that's when greatness happens. And so I'm proud of our staff. I'm proud of what we've done as a staff and the way we recruited. We're on our way. I mean, we've only won one game, but there's so much work that's gone in just to winning that one game.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 20 months of hard work and, you know, working with Coach Sizemore, working with our administration, getting scholarships right, getting funding right. There's so much that people don't know that we do on a daily basis just to put out a bunch of fires so we can play games on Saturday. And so we got to continue to move it forward. We got to continue to move the needle forward and not – we got to progress as a program. We can't go backwards.
Yeah.
Great conversation up to this point. Let's pause briefly on Lakes Country. When we come back, we shift gears to discussing the matchup against Missouri S&T. This is the Darren Cheverini Show. Welcome back to the show. A reminder that during football season, you can catch the Darren Cheverini Show in person and live at Emery's Grill on Wednesday nights at 7, while you can also listen on the official radio home of NSU Athletics, Lakes Country 102.1, Friday nights at 6. The show can be heard on demand from the NSU Athletics website and Spotify, while this marks the first season that a video production of the show can be watched on demand on YouTube through the Rogue Radio Network YouTube channel. We'll continue the conversation, but first want to thank our official radio sponsors for the upcoming season. Without their support, this show would not be possible. Tahlequah Family Vision Clinic, Archer Cleaners, Northeastern State University Relations, Chick-fil-A Tahlequah, The Wash Barn, Riverside Liquor, Napoli's Italian Grill, The Shockley Group, JT Van Attorney at Law, Rose Rock Coffee, Health First Chiropractic Clinic, Edward Jones, Jeremy McClure, and Northeastern State University College of Extended Learning. Get this, folks. For the first time since 1958, Northeastern State will do battle with Missouri S&T. By the way, for all the history buffs out there, S&T was a member of the MIAA before Northeastern State was. It marks the home opener for the River Hawks and is game one of a home-and-home agreement that we'll see in SU traveling to Rolla next season. Coach, we'll start off. Just give me a general assessment of your opponents.
Much improved team that went 4-7 last year, but has made strides. Obviously won their first home game, you know, like 50-something to 10. You know, quarterback's a good player, got a couple good receivers, you know. You know, at the end of the day, we want to watch our opponent. We want to see what their tendencies are on offense, defense. We want to put together a game plan. But more importantly, we want to work on what we're doing to get better as a football team, fix the issues that showed up in game one, improve those issues during practice so they understand it, see it on film, and go out there and make the corrections, and then go out there and keep pushing them physically, mentally, and, you know, keep conditioning them at a high level. Because, like I said before, at the end of the day, the teams that usually win most games are the most physical and the most conditioned. So, you know, I always have respect for our opponents. You know, I always have respect for coaches in this profession. It's a tough job. There's no sure wins. And so it's a good football program that's coming in here, and we got to do our job on Saturday in Doc Wadley.
All right, Coach. I'm going to address a little bit of the travel here, this, you know, how far we went here. We had an emotional win, obviously, a good first-week win and a hard-fought win on one of the longest road trips ever taken by NSU football.
It's probably got to be the longest.
It is. Yeah, yes. It is the longest we've gone for a regular season football game. The only two trips we went to that were longer were national title games in 58 and 80.
Where were those at?
You had Elon and you had St. Petersburg, Florida.
Okay. Well, you probably took more. It was 975 miles from Tahlequah to Saginaw Valley. You took via Tulsa, so you took a little longer on the trip.
They went air, not ground.
They went air, not ground, yeah. But you still put the mileage on. and the time as well. Especially, I mentioned that was that was fun, you know, getting all that done. But after you, you know, we deal with that. How do we shift that? You addressed this a little bit while ago, Coach, but maybe a little more specifically, how do you address their mentality coming into this week for the home opener with S&T with a big win like that and what they went through this past week?
I mean, I told our players in the locker room we were going to celebrate this win for about 36 hours because we had a long travel day back because we actually stayed the night in Saginaw. Well, actually, outside of Saginaw, we stayed the night, and then we got up in the morning and we watched film. So we had a 7:30 team meeting in the morning. We watched film. We put all the film to bed, made all the corrections, and then we got on the bus, and then we drove to Detroit, and then went Detroit to Charlotte, Charlotte back to Tulsa, and then got back home around 10 o'clock at night. So, I mean, it's always better when you win. You know, I was in the Pac-12. We played a bunch of Pac-12 after dark games, and I'd get home at 5 a.m.
Wow.
And have to be back in the office at 8 a.m. So I know those travel days. And so it's always better after a win. And at the end of the day, that game's over. We're 1-0. We celebrated that win on the weekend. But after we met as a team, now it's on to the next. And so we're focused on our first opponent. We want to get our first home win. We want to get to 2-0. So that's been the mindset all week. And we don't even talk about Saginaw with the team right now. It's just all about Missouri S&T.
I like it.
I like it too. So talking about S&T on the offensive side, I want to discuss some of the athletes they have. I think this is a good team on that side of the ball, especially. Tyler Joy is an interesting story because he moved from quarterback. He was QB1 for the Miners last season, but he's moved to receiver, and my goodness, it looks like he's handling that transition well. 124-yard performance in their opener, 5 catches and a touchdown, had an 88-yard reception at one point. They also have an all-conference utility player in Kai Martin coming back from injury. We saw him get 7 touches last week. And I'd assume JUCO transfer Sheldon Butler Lawson will be a factor again this week after he had 5 catches in his debut a week ago. So, Coach Chev, top athletic pieces S&T's got. What do they bring to the table? How can you minimize their contributions?
I mean, first and foremost, we got to get to the quarterback. So they're going to throw the football. They want to throw the football. I mean, that was evident in game one for them. You know, they're a 10 personnel operation. They're spread sets, so they want to drop back and throw the football. We got to get a pass rush, and then we got to rush and cover. We got to be able to rush the passer, and we got to be able to cover. And so we have a solid secondary with Richburg and Owens and Tolbert and Usman and Esparza, and we're going to start getting some different nickel pieces in there. So, you know, I think we match up well. I mean, they do have good athletes. We have good athletes. And then if they do decide to get to the running game, our linebackers got to be able to fit run fits, and we got to get off blocks and make plays. So, you know, I think it's a good game for our defense. It's a good game for us to showcase our athletic ability and show how our roster has been upgraded over the last, you know, 12 months. And so I'm excited to watch our guys perform because, you know, the great thing about football and the interesting thing about football, we're the only sport in America that basically practices 90% of the time to play 10% of the games. You know, it's not like baseball or basketball or different sports where you basically, you know, you practice about 50% of the time and you play 50% of the time. No, football is like 90% practice and you get that 10% to play games. And so I'm excited to see our guys get an opportunity to compete in our home stadium on a Saturday night. It's going to be great energy. It's going to be a great environment. You know, we got a lot of big time people coming to the game. We're going to have over 50 recruits coming to the game, which are top prospects from Oklahoma, Arkansas, and Texas. We got a great contingent from Texas coming up. We got a great contingent from Tulsa coming in. We got a great contingent from Arkansas coming into town. So it's going to be a fun game for us to compete and go out there and show our product on the field.
I talked to Coach Curry last week about their defense and about how to attack that and what they can and can't do. But can you maybe expand a little bit about when the recruits come in, maybe what that game day looks like for them when a recruit does come into town?
I mean, first and foremost, we want to play good football. The best thing you can do for recruiting is win football games and put on good performances. And so, you know, I'm excited about our personnel offensively. I think we match up well against this defense. You know, like, we have good skill. We have a solid quarterback. We got solid running backs. I want to get our run game going. I want to see our run game take the next step in the open field and for us to create some explosives in the run game. And so, but the best thing you can do for recruiting is win football games.
Yep.
When you win football games and you put on good performances, you know, the rest takes care of itself. The hard thing is when you lose football games, is to be able to recruit good players. And every college football program in America goes through that at some point when you're building a program. How do you change the narrative when you're not winning? But when you're winning, people are like, I want to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. You know? So we just got to continue to play good football and continue to stack W's.
You know, and one of the big things we've noticed, obviously, is the skill positions are loaded, hence the Chenault factor. And you remember my X factor last matchup was, of course, Cam Woods. But this year, my X factor, I'm looking to see what, you know, Cam Jackson does at receiver and, you know, alongside having Mikey Henderson and Deuce out there. As an offensive-minded head coach, what is your approach to spread the ball with that much talent on the field and keep the defense guessing?
I mean, at the end of the day, it comes down to matchups. I think what any good offensive coach looks at is matchups. So where's my matchups? Is it Cam Woods on a nickel? Is it Cam Woods on a safety? Is it Mikey Henderson on a corner or putting him in a position to where he's on a safety? So when I game plan, I'm always looking, how do I get guys in certain matchups? I'm not thinking about players and plays. I'm thinking about defensive personnel and how I attack the defense. And so, you know, like game one, I knew that there wasn't going to be a guy that could cover number one. I knew that. And I knew that the only way they could cover number one is if they clouded him or double-teamed him. Well, they didn't make that adjustment, so I kept going to him. Now, I'm sure that we're going to play teams that make that adjustment. So if they make that adjustment, then what is my counterpunch? And so I have counterpunches, which is Mikey Henderson, Cam Jackson, Cam Woods, Deuce Roberson, the run game. And so I think any good coordinator, you don't think plays, you think personnel. If they think about it right, you got to look at defensive personnel and how do I attack their personnel. And so that's kind of how I look at it from a game planning standpoint.
Up next, we premiere a new segment on the Darren Chevrony Show featuring Captain Morgan. Additionally, we get final thoughts from the rest of the table. You're listening to the Darren Chevrony Show on Lakes Country 102.1. We return to the Darren Chevrony Show presented by the NSU Alumni Association. We have a few more things to get to. First, a reminder that we will be live from Doc Wadley this Saturday at 6 p.m. on Lakes Country 102.1, the official radio home of NSU Athletics, and on the MIAA Network for the first time this season with kickoff of the Missouri S&T game. Coverage begins with Countdown to Kickoff Show at 5 p.m. with myself and DJ Sean Solo on the call. Also, make sure to make it out to Emory's Monday night at 6 for a double taping of the River Rock Sports Nest podcast with special guests including head tennis coach Tim McLean and the relaunch men's tennis program, and NSU women's soccer with assistant coach Jake Sorensen. Looking forward to seeing both of those. Now we'll introduce a new segment on the show, and that is the Captain's Catch featuring Captain William Morgan. Take it away.
All righty, you mates. Here is the Captain's Pick of the Week, where the captain has an under-the-radar keeper. This week's special teams performance by Mo Fulcady was pivotal in last week's win. That junior from College Station only saw two punts against the Cardinals. Effectively, they were for a total of 131 yards, 60 and an impressive 71-yarder. Special teams can be a wild card and a major part of the defense. Last week, Mo Fulcady was a contributing factor in this great team win. That, shipmates, is the captain's catch of the week.
I like it.
Get him in the new Jack Sparrow movie.
That's what I've been saying. I said it when he first debuted. The captainisms is he's got a voiceover talent that he doesn't use enough.
Right. We got some more characters we need to throw out there.
Absolutely. Alter egos, you name it. So one final reminder that the most visible way to show your Northeastern pride is through membership with the NSU Alumni Association. Make sure to download the Green and White Network mobile app for alumni and tap the Coach Chev Show tile. Fill out the form to enter to win a $25 Visa gift card while receive a generous discount for Alumni Association membership just for taking the time to fill it out. We have our first drawing. So this, folks, is what you could do if you follow the previously mentioned instructions. You could win a $25 Visa gift card every single episode of the Darren Chevrony Show. Rest of the season, we're going to be doing this. So, Coach Chev, if you don't mind, draw a name out of the NSU alumni jar. Who's it going to be? Is it going to be you?
No, I did not put my name in there.
All right, what's the name? I see Tom Linehan. Nice. Tom Linehan is our winner of the $25 gift card. And again, make sure if you want to enter for next week, tap the Coach Chev Show tile after downloading the Green and White mobile app for alumni. Another great show in the books. Final thoughts before this week's game. We'll start with Captain.
I'm looking forward to this week's game. I'm a little excited about starting 2-0. I don't want to, you know, count my eggs before they actually hatch.
Let's play the game first, huh?
Yeah, exactly. but I know this. I know this week it's going to be the stadium's going to be rocking. You know, starting out 1-0, Coach Chev. Congratulations again. I mean, you and what you've done and instilled in the coaches all the way through is showing through here. So starting out 1-0 is good. Getting a home win here this coming weekend is something that that would be exciting. But I know the stands are going to be full and everybody's supporting you regardless.
Well, you know, I'm like the number one fan of our Riverhawks, and
oh my goodness,
the love I have for
you
our players.
Tell about the dance you did after the.
Everybody's seen that on social media for sure. Yeah, it's gotten like 50 shares, over 5,000 views. But anyway, Saturday marks my 53rd trip around the sun. So the boys, I'm not going to say they've guaranteed a win for my birthday, but they are going to throw up an X for me for my number 10 in the booth. So I don't want to jinx this because I'm very superstitious when it comes to my teams, but Coach, will you throw up an X to me on Saturday with the win?
After we play a game.
Yes, after we play a game. Yeah. Yes, please.
Alrighty, Coach Chef, final thoughts?
I'm just excited to keep competing, keep progressing as a program. You know, I mean, I'm a competitor. I love to play this game when I was a player, and I love to coach this game. I love to be in big games. So, you know, the biggest game is always the next one. And so this is our next opportunity. And, you know, our players put a lot of work in spring, summer, fall camp. And so I want to see them go out there and let it loose and compete. I mean, our job as coaches is to get them ready. And then on game day, they got to go play. And I tell players all the time, coaches coach and players play. Our job is to get you ready. But once you're ready, now you guys got to go out there and play the game. So I'm excited to see them go out there and showcase all their hard work. You know, you guys have been to practice. I know, you know, Sean's been to practice, and he sees all the hard work that we've put in. And we coach them hard, but we also love them up hard too. So they know how we care about them. And so I want to see them get the results out of all the hard work. So I'm looking forward to compete on Saturday.
Until next time, this has been the Darren Cheverny Show presented by the NSU Alumni Association. We'll catch you next week.